I'm Rachel C. Swanson, and you're listening to the Refine and Restore podcast. Welcome to the podcast where I help strip away the lies that are holding you back and restore your heart and mind back to what is true. From faith, relationships, purposeful living, personal and spiritual growth insights, this podcast is designed to provide inspiration and encouragement to help you grow into the person that you are meant to be. This is the last episode of this season, and it's such a good one. Although I'm kind of sad that it's the last one for the season, but guess what? Don't worry, I will be back May 1st releasing fresh new episodes that I have planned out, and I can't wait to share them with you. So in this episode, it's episode 25, and if you don't know Emily P. Freeman, you are in for a treat because she is such a deep soul and gives fresh perspective today about decision-making on this podcast episode. Emily is a Wall Street Journal best-selling author of Simply Tuesday and A Million Little Ways. She also has a podcast called The Next Right Thing Podcast, creating space for the soul to breathe. Her writing offers a fresh perspective on the sacredness of our inner life with God. And that's what I love about her the most. Emily and her husband live in North Carolina with their three children. And one, yes, happens to be a set of twins as well, just like me. So if you have trouble making decisions, our conversation today is going to lighten your mind with some amazing insights to help you pause, assess, and make the next right step. So tell me, Emily, did you used to be a super indecisive person? Is this why you want to share on this topic of making life decisions easier? Or kind of tell me your journey about that.
Well, used to be, that's an interesting, sometimes I feel like I still am. Like when I show up at a restaurant and there's a menu that looks like a book, I just want to leave because I don't know. There's some decisions that I just feel like I don't have the capacity to make this decision. Just somebody make it for me. You know, a lot of times I feel that way. But I do think, I think I probably have a history when it comes to decision making of being more on the indecisive, hesitant side than like the direct, like I know exactly what I want and let's do this. So if I had to choose one of those sides of the coin, it would definitely be the more indecisive side. But I think in recent years, what has kind of struck me in this decision-making process is how much power an unmade decision can hold for someone who is maybe more indecisive. And I think that perhaps the same can be said for someone who is super decisive. It holds a lot of power and they don't like that. So they make a quick decision so they can move past it and get on to the next thing. So I think it goes both ways, whether it holds a lot of power, whether you're carrying it for a long time or it lights a fire under you to go ahead and make it. I still think that there is some power compels us to pay attention and to make a choice and to take a step. And so that's a powerful place to be. And sometimes a really frustrating place to be because we think, man, if only someone would just come along and really tell me what's best.
Completely. Yeah. And sometimes that's not always the answer. Like you don't have an answer, right? As you only have little hints towards a potential answer. And so maybe you can even share about that. I know there's a part in your book and you've shared this with others as well. This book that's coming out it's called The Next Right Thing. And you talk about sometimes God doesn't give you answers, but he points you to arrows. Can you share a little bit and unpack more about that?
I think we, a lot of times in that phrase, I mean, the next right thing, I didn't come up with it, right? I mean, it's been repeated by many, many people long before me, which is why it's so compelling. It's like, it's a simple little phrase, but it's also kind of freeing, you know, and it's an accessible phrase because I think we tend in decision-making, we tend to put the emphasis on the right, the word right. But I guess this is an invitation to maybe focus more on the word next. And that's sort of where those arrows come in, is that I think we're often looking for the end, which is like, what's the right thing to do here? And instead an arrow invites us, well, what's the next right thing? And sometimes that's just, I'm going to move the clothes from the washer to the dryer. And that is what I'm going to do next. And then after that, you can ask yourself the next question. Okay, now what's the next right thing? And that brings it down to the nitty gritty of daily life. And that's where our big decisions are really made. And, you know, I don't think any of us, nobody sort of made a big decision in one moment and poof, everything was different. It's just sort of this, even the big decisions of life, they bloom in us. Mm-hmm. They don't just, you know, show up like a check mark. It's sort of like, okay, well, follow this leaning and lean into this conversation and see where it might lead. And those in my mind, I think really visually, and those look a lot more like arrows than like answers. But eventually, as we walk and listen and consider our own personality and our life with God, then it does eventually lead to an answer. But sometimes once I get to that answer, I realize, maybe it doesn't feel as like a relief as I thought it would, just because the relief was in the journey of kind of getting there.
So. Yeah. No, that's so good. And actually, I relate to that so much because even just the past, about 8 months ago, we were just following those arrows. I mean, a lot of people have followed me on my journey in the last 6-8 months where my husband quit his job. We didn't have another one in sight. We just felt like God was pointing us to a new path and plan, but we weren't exactly sure what. So we bought an RV and we thought we were going to travel around the country until God somehow kind of put on our hearts what we were supposed to do. Sounded all crazy, but just totally was seeming like that next right step for us. And as we continued to journey along, and just following the arrows, eventually it pointed us to this arrow in Idaho. We lived in Southern California, and it pointed us to this arrow in Idaho for this ranch that was broken down. It's nothing special, nothing fancy, but there were this other couple that was partnering to try to build it up into a Christian events wedding and retreat center. And this has never been on our radar. It was never something we wanted to embark on. And yet we felt like the arrows continued to say, this is your next right step. This is what I'm leading you towards. And just have faith that this is what, you know, is going to work out in the end to uplift you, promote your gifts, to bring something more alive in your heart than you thought. And because we were living in a season where we felt stagnant, we felt like something was shifting, and yet we weren't sure what to do about it. And so, we didn't have answers, and yet we continued to just follow those arrows until they ultimately did point us to an answer that we're still walking out, we're still trying to figure out, but it's been freeing, right? And actually, I've really had listened to your podcast a ton last year just because I was in that stage of like, what is that next right step? And just listening to your insights on that was just very powerful and very helpful to navigating my own journey. And so, you know, tell me in this season of your life, what's the next right step or next right thing that you're doing right now?
Well, first, don't you love it how you're like, it would led you to this thing that you couldn't have dreamed up? Like,
absolutely.
You couldn't have ever said like, oh, we want to go do this. I mean, you just couldn't have you couldn't have made it up in your mind, you know, but just one next step after another kind of led you there. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, I'll have more to say later. We did unpack our story in more detail because people were asking about it in episodes 9, 10, and 11. But we have so much more behind the scenes that God's been doing, so many more arrows he keeps pointing towards. And it's exciting and kind of intimidating sometimes, daunting, but also just really thrilling to be like, wow, God's invited us into something that's bigger than ourselves and something we can't just do on our own, but we really need the surrounding parts of community and just being open to the obedience of just trying to obey his leading in our life. And so we are finding that we've fallen in love with this area and this mission and this new kind of adventure he's taken us on, and just seeing so much beauty through it and seeing my husband's heart come alive again in ways that I just haven't seen before, and seeing him in with his natural gifts and talents, they're starting to come forth and showing and demonstrating how he's going to be used in this next season of life. It's been really fun. But for you, where are you at currently? I know this has happened so much in the past. That's why you talk about this idea so much. And so, but maybe perhaps this now, I know you've been pursuing your master's, I believe, and you have a podcast that you maintain, and you have a whole group of writers online, as well as your books, your multiple books that you're pursuing. So, and then you have a family, you have twins as well. We're both twin moms, and another one, right? I think you have three kids, right?
We have three
as well. I just love to hear what's the next right step for you right now that you're doing in this season of life.
You know, these days I really try to focus on about 90 days at a time. And so right now it's, you know, I'm thinking through the next 90 days and the next 90 days are pretty planned out. In fact, the next two sets of 90 days are pretty planned out when it comes to work things.
Yes.
I will graduate this year. So by summer,
congrats.
I will be graduated,
yay!
Which is very exciting. it's really exciting. There's a lot of work to be done before then, but there's a light there at the end. And so, and it's been a joy to do it. But I will say that, you know, when we followed the arrow to graduate school for me, it was one that I did with a fair amount of anxiety, not super unhealthy anxiety, but like a little bit of, you know, maybe healthy nerves, because I knew what it was. I didn't know what it was going to require, but I imagined what it was going to require. Mm-hmm. And it was a big commitment, not just for me, but also for our whole family, and especially for my husband. And so for me to take this on meant that he was going to have to, you know, do more things outside of what he normally was doing. Maybe some, mm-hmm. like I did a lot of the meal planning and a lot of the grocery shopping and things like that. And he does not all of it, but like most of it right now. And that's a real gift to me, but that definitely has changed our life, sort of our day in and day out life. And so I think that when I look at my next right thing, I mean, really for me, it's a today question. It's really not a season of life question. It's like, okay, today I'm doing this thing. And then I look at my week each Sunday night, sort of look at what's coming up. And I do have an assistant, Tracy, who really helps keep me sane, as far as like, I literally send her my syllabus for my classes. And she schedules when I do my readings and when I mean, this is where we're at, people. This is what I have to have a mom tell me when to do my homework. Like literally I pay my mom, but she's not my mom, but it's like I'm paying someone to tell me when to do my work. But it's just because there are so many different things, and I'm sure that listeners have, like, there's just a lot of different things a lot of us are juggling with, and they're things that don't necessarily cross. It's like this part of my work and then this part of family and this church. And you know, my husband is a community group leader for a small group at our church, and so we're balancing that. And so there's all good things, but it's definitely a little bit of a dance, and sometimes a hot mess of a dance. And so I am a big believer in finding help where you can. I really think my next right thing right now is very much staying in the present day that I'm in, because when I start to run ahead into the foggy future, that's when I get myself in trouble. So I try to really keep my eyes on the day.
Well, that's encouraging, because I think that's where everybody is really at. You know, yeah. We're always just trying to think of what's the next right thing for right now in this moment. And that's a question we do have to ask ourselves. And I think sometimes we push past that, or we don't sit and process that enough, or take that time of stillness, which I always go back to. And you talk about that in your book as well, of just getting still, even just for a few minutes, to really process through, okay, is this the next best decision, the next right step for me? You know, I shared in a recent podcast episode, what was good for a season may not be good for this season. And I feel like that kind of has to do with the things that we talk about, with just, you know, making those decisions and those next right step decisions. I don't know if you maybe agree with that. And do you believe, though, that season of depending on what's right for that next season, it varies between person to person?
Absolutely. And even within your own life, you know, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to do it forever or at all. And you might not have to do it at all. And I went to school to be a sign language interpreter, and that was my degree. And then I spent a lot of money to travel 6 hours to get nationally certified as a sign language interpreter. And I did that for years, and it served me well. And then I had two babies at one time. And then I had another baby 2 years later. And then I ended up realizing I couldn't continue to work as a sign language interpreter and also keep children alive. Just for me, that wasn't what I could do. And so I had to make a choice. And that choice, as I did my next right thing and followed the arrows, it led to writing and the work that I have now, to the point where one day I got a letter in the mail that said, "We're sorry to inform you that your national certification has expired because you didn't earn enough continuing education units to keep it up." And that was a hard day for me, because it was a moment of, did I make a mistake? Because this is what I majored in school. And we put all this, you know, at least here in the United States, we put a lot of eggs in that basket of your degree. And if you end up doing something different, which so many of us do, but we often feel a sense of shame, or maybe a weird sense of failure, that like, oh, I chose wrong. Mm-hmm. But just because you change your mind doesn't mean you chose wrong in the first place. Yeah. Those skills I developed as an interpreter really served me well as a writer now, I realize. And and that was good for that time. And that's who I was then. And now it's different, but you know, there can be things, but you were so good at it, or you this thing so well. And it's like, well, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to do it forever. And I think that can be a really freeing statement to hold on to.
And I completely relate to that, because I went to school to pursue medicine, and I was a dental hygienist. I went back to school and got my dental hygiene license. And you do also have to have continuing education courses and credits, but my licensing is for California. And so although I put it on pause, because my life also took a turn, even though I thought, okay, I can always go back to it. Well, now we just moved to Idaho, and I had to really sit back and think, I can't work here. Like, as a dental hygienist, I'd have to take a test, like another big test, do that all over again. So just finally seeing that I have to almost grieve, in a sense of like, okay, I have to grieve, but also remember that it was really good for a season.
but it's not this next season, and that's okay. That it was really good for that season, but now I'm no longer in that season of life anymore, and it's okay to change, and it's okay to pivot, and it's okay to keep going and moving forward in this next season of what God has for me. And I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, and you know you're where you're supposed to be, but it can be also hard when you are in a society that tells you you have to stay, or if you pursued something so hard, then you can't give it up. And it's like, right. Well, no, you can do that for a season, but if things start to shift, move towards it and be okay with the fact that you can do other things as well, that you're still gifted to do a lot of other things and be able to be used in that purpose in that way as well.
It's so true.
On that, like, would you tell someone who is contemplating like a big decision, such as maybe a career change or moving, or thinking, oh, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, or maybe you're going to go back to being a work-at-home and or work-at-home mom or whatever, what's their next right thing maybe that you can kind of tell them right now?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I think if that person was in front of me, I would start with asking a lot of questions. I never give anyone advice on what decisions to make. I would be terrible at that, I think. But what I feel like my best contribution is to help create space for someone to access the answers that already live within them. Mm. And to begin to trust your own desire, mm-hmm. because I believe that God put within us something that he wants to bring out of us, and we're often afraid to access that. And so I think I would just begin with asking some really curious questions. And one of those questions would be, I wouldn't need the answer to it, but I think it would be good for someone to know, is just overall, am I being led by a sense of love, or am I being pushed around by fear? And that love-fear question is often sometimes the only thing a person needs to make their next right choice or the next right step, maybe not to make the whole decision, but to think, in this moment when I'm carrying this decision, do I feel compelled by love, or do I feel pushed and drowned by fear? And that can often offer some clarity, especially when it comes to, like, for example, you mentioned a vocational thing, because so many times those fears get really wrapped up one way or another. It's like, oh, there's the money thing, and then there's the time thing, and then there's the in-law perception thing, and there's the friends, what they're going to think, we're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we are a little bit. And there's lots of factors at play, mm-hmm. that can drown out the voice of love that might be calling you to something that you might not be able to explain or articulate yet. I think eventually you will be, if it's really something you're called to do. But at first, in those early times, those early moments of decision making, I think it's really important to begin to access all three centers of how we make decisions, which is our head, our heart, and our intuition. When those three are at play together, I believe is when we make our best decisions. But sometimes I think we all lead with one or the other. And sometimes if we're leading with one and leaving the other two behind, that might mean we need a little more time to let the other two catch up. And so giving ourselves the space to access how we feel about a thing, what we think about a thing, and if we had to make the decision right now, what would it be? Those are some important questions to ask yourself when it comes to big decisions.
What do you think about lists then? Like making lists and whether or not you think they're helpful or not. I mean, I kind of know because I read your book, but I'd love to hear you share it a little bit more.
I love lists. I just think we make the wrong ones. I think
yes.
I think that if you're making a pro-con list, it's probably too late. I tend to make pro-con lists in a moment of panic because I don't know what else to do. And so I pull it out and I'm like, all right, I'm looking into the future about things I do not know. And I'm going to try to predict how this thing is going to come out. And here's the positive ways and here's the negative ways. I mean, that's one way to do a pro-con. I know there are some good things that can come of it. It can help you organize your thoughts and those things. But I prefer to make a list where you look back instead. So rather than looking forward into something that you don't yet know, a decision that you haven't yet made, what might it mean to engage in a regular practice of looking back on decisions you've already made and deciding how they actually impacted your life? And so the way I like to do that is by using a life energy list, is what I call it. I wish I had a cool name for it, but I don't.
I like it.
It works. It's a measure of energy, of where your energy went and if it was spent well or if it was wasted in your mind. And I just label that, choose a period of time. So a very specific period of time. So like last summer or the last 6 months or the last 90 days or whatever it is. And then choose a category. You can do this in every category of life, but it could be in your relationships, or it could be if you're making a particular decision about work, use work as your category. And then make a simple list. And the list is, you ask yourself two questions. What was life draining in that season? And what was life giving? And it can be very, you want it to be really concrete things like, when we went on that work trip with those people. Or there might be certain aspects of that work trip that were life-giving and certain that were life-draining. Tease them out and be able to look at what brought life, what drained life. And if that's a hard question for you to answer, if you're more of an embodied person, think about in your body, when I ask myself this question and I think about that, let's just use like I went on this work trip, like I already decided this is my example I'm using. When I think of it, do I have a sense of lightness and excitement, or do I have a sense of dread and kind of like a sadness? And just that can be one measure. It's not the only measure, but it's one measure to discover whether or not that thing was life-giving or life-draining to you, and write it down without judgment. I think sometimes we think like, oh, well, that should have been life-giving, so it was life-giving for everybody else on the trip, but I really hated it. So this is the moment to be super honest, because you don't have to turn this list in. This is just for you to help you make discerning decisions. And so I think once you have that list, it can really help inform future decisions, because then you see, is the life I am living the life that wants to be lived in me? Parker Palmer asked that question. I think that's an important one, because the way, the energy that we bring to something is important, and people around us know and can receive that from us. And it impacts our experience and the experience of those around us. And so clearly we can't eliminate everything that's life draining. I mean, a lot of times we're called straight into the face of things that just absolutely drain our life. And that's, thankfully, we have a God who promises to be with us and who will give us what we need when we need it, no sooner and no later. But in those areas where we have a choice, and a lot of times that's the decisions that people struggle the most with, because we're choosing between two good things, or I'm choosing between two bad things, but I have to make a choice. It's those areas where we have a choice that often trip us up. That's why we're making these pro and con. If it was clear, we wouldn't have to make a list. So I've discovered that that type of list, life energy list, and doing it in regular intervals, like weekly or every month, or I tend to do them every 3 months. I look back on the last 3 months and I sort of do a little practice of reflection there. That can be really helpful in helping to determine future decisions.
It's like an audit of your life, of how things are going, like the last 3 months.
Yeah. And you know, there's an ancient practice called the daily examen. That's, I mean, I didn't make this up. You know, there is a reflective practice in, you know, the Christian tradition, which is at the end of the day, you look back on the day and you prayerfully consider it. And you just, you think, where did I see God today? And you name it, and you, and that's one way of reflection. And so this is just sort of an expanded version of that as it relates to your own life, because I do think those things that are life-giving, honestly, often we see the face of God in those things, because that's where we came most fully alive. And I think it's important to pay attention to that.
Absolutely. I agree. On to that, what do you think God's word says then with making decisions? And if you have any biblical references to how you make your decisions, or things that he's pointed out to you at certain times of major decisions or points of life that you're having to make a pivot.
Well, I think one of my favorite chapters or books of the Bible is Colossians. And I love Colossians 1, and especially where it talks about Jesus. And Paul says that he is the firstborn over all creation, that he was before all things, and in him all things hold together. And I don't know about you, but when I have a tough decision to make, sometimes it feels like things are flying apart. And so to remember that verse, that really he's saying, no matter what, in him, all things hold together. And that word all means all. And that means there's nothing that's left out. There's no detail that he does not see. There's no step I can take that he is not informed about. And so that is a, maybe not a direct verse about decision-making, but it is a verse about making a life. Because as I make my life with my friend Jesus, I can trust that he's going to be with me, and I can voice all my concerns, and I can have unmade decisions, and I can even walk around and live with an unmade decision, but I can have peace because he's with me, and I know he won't let me miss the next right thing, and he's going to walk with me into it.
Jesus will walk you into the next right thing. Do you believe this? Is this something that you can entrust to him right now? Can you walk the next thing out, trusting that no matter what, God will direct your path and help you find your way? I hope you take some time this week to really reflect on all that was shared today. Assess how you want your life to really look like, and make decisions based on where you feel God is beckoning you into with him. If you've been enjoying this podcast, I have a giveaway going on right now for those that leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm giving away 8 gift cards to 8 lucky listeners that ends this Friday, March 22nd. So just leave the review, come and find me on Instagram and Facebook, and leave a message for me that you completed your review. Remember, I'm taking my season break until May 1st, so go back and catch up on the ones that you may have missed. There are so many good ones. All right, that's it for now. Love you guys. Take care.